You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hi, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 113. Today's episode is going to be the first in a sub-series. I've been thinking about how to help you enjoy New Orleans from afar here in May 2020 as we're all stuck inside with COVID-19. And either if you're not here and you want to visit, or maybe you are here and you just can't get out. I've been trying to think about how do I help us all enjoy the city a little bit more when we can't experience it firsthand. And then at the same time, the Historic New Orleans Collection, the THNOC, recently did an online tournament where they matched New Orleans songs against each other in kind of an NCAA March Madness-style bracket that they called Music Madness. People were invited to vote, and they published the results online, while also linking to the launch of an online exhibit called New Orleans Medley, Sounds of the City. My friends over there, Eli Haddo and Teresa Devlin, suggested it might be fun if I filled out my own bracket and talked about my selections on a podcast. So that's what I'm going to do, or at least start to do today. Before we jump in, I want to mention the last episode. It was a discussion about the history of Sicilians in New Orleans, and in particular, their impact on our food. I was joined by author and professor Justin Nystrom, who wrote a book called Creole Italian, Sicilian Immigrants and the Shaping of New Orleans Food Culture. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. We've gotten lots of great feedback, and I think you'll enjoy it, too. Today's episode is sponsored by Liz Wood Realty. The most frequent questions I get are about moving to New Orleans. If you're ready to make the move, you need a good realtor, and that's where Liz Wood comes in. Let Liz and her team help you find just the right place. They can help whether you plan to rent or purchase. New Orleans is a terrific city, but choosing the neighborhood that's the best fit for you can be overwhelming. Liz makes that process fun and easy. Reach out to Liz at lizwoodrealty.com and make your dream of living in New Orleans a reality. Several members of our community have done just that and are thrilled with their new homes, and you will be too. The other thing that sets Liz apart is what she does after she helps you find a home. Liz has done a great job of building community and helping you or the others that have moved here get connected with people that are new to the area. Again, when you're ready to make New Orleans home, reach out to Liz at lizwoodrealty.com. With that, let's jump into the discussion, why don't we? Let me recap and kind of give you the setup. So THNOC, the Historic New Orleans Collection, one of their curators, Eric Seifert, selected 64 songs with ties to New Orleans. He matched them up in 32 pairs in a bracket. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the show notes for this episode, which will be at beyondbourbonst.com/113, where you'll find links to the THNOC bracket. The public then got to vote on the winner of each matchup, and that winner advanced to the next round. So the next round was the round of 32, and then the process repeated itself until there was a winner. Those of you that are familiar with NCAA basketball and March Madness know exactly what I'm describing. But just in case you don't, what happens is it results in a total of 6 rounds to get from 64 songs to the final choice. So you start with the round of 64, which has 32 songs pitted against 32 songs. You pick winners, and you end up with the round of 32, right? And then you go to the Sweet 16, the Elite 8, the Final 4, and then the championship matchup. Today's episode and the next one will take us through the first round. So I'm going to cover 16 matchups today and 16 next time. What I didn't think about when I first talked to Eli and Teresa, at the time, they weren't, at least I didn't understand that they were going to take 64 songs. I thought they were going to do 32 or 16. So 64 trying to make 32 picks is a lot. And as I started doing it, I realized it was way too much for one show, but that's okay. We're going to do the first round, we're going to do one half of it today, and then one half of it in the next episode, and then I'll figure out, can I do from that point forward in one episode, or does it take a couple? So this may take a while, but again, if you're listening to this in May of 2020, or the summer of 2020, when we're all trying to stay safe with COVID-19, then this is a great thing to do. And so it'll be fun, and I think it's evergreen, too, that a lot of these songs are already gosh, 100 years old or more. So whether you're listening to this in 2020 or years from now, I think it'll be relevant and it'll be a fun thing to do. So let's talk about how I approach this. I listen to each song in the THNOC playlist that they posted on YouTube. And I'm going to have links for this in the show notes over at beyondbourbonst.com/113. But their playlist is called the Music Madness Playlist. I thought about my own knowledge of the song, the composer, the recording, and its place in New Orleans history. I also thought about how much I liked the song and what memories of New Orleans it stirred in me. I decided not to apply numeric scores, but just to kind of listen and think about it and pick. I'm going to walk you through each matchup and my thoughts on it. In some cases, I'll talk about other recordings of the same song. And for you to get the most enjoyment out of this one and the follow-on episodes in this sub-series, I strongly encourage you to open up the YouTube playlist and follow along. You also might want to print your own bracket and fill it out. All right, with all of that, let's go. I'm going to take a quick drink of water. So, I don't know how Eric made the decision to put the pairings together. In fact, I'm hoping to have him on a future episode and maybe we'll ask him that. But I'm just going to go through. So, just like they're presented on the THNOC website or in their brackets, this is all going to be round one. And again, we're going to cover 16 matchups, so 32 songs today. Round one, matchup one, is the song Bambula, Opera 2 from Gottschalk against Tomorrow Night by Lonnie Johnson. So basically, you have this matchup of piano versus guitar and lyrics. I like Bambula, but it's supposed to be evocative of Congo Square, and Gottschalk would have been, he lived from 1829 to 1869. He spent most of his life outside the U.S., but he was born in New Orleans, and he lived on Conti Street. He was, at the time, one of the most famous pianists in the United States. And in fact, there was a historical novel written about Gottschalk called Concert Grand in 1963. So given the time that he lived, he almost certainly, and I'm looking at that, 1829 to 1969, that can't be right. There's no way he lived to be 140 years old. But he likely visited Congo Square. And those of you that have listened or that are familiar with New Orleans know that Congo Square is now in Louis Armstrong Park. But it was the place during slavery that slaves were allowed, air quotes, on Sundays to go and trade and spend time together and dance. And they often played drums and sort of had their own music there that they brought from all over the world. And for me, I think Gottschalk's piece Bambula is really moving. It's really pleasing sonically, but I have a hard time connecting it in my head to Congo Square. I've listened to it a couple times, and it does start off very dramatically. And the more I listen to it, the more I see he was a pianist, right? So that's what he was going to use as his medium to try to evoke and to display what he heard and what he saw. But you have that. So he likely did firsthand see, go to Congo Square and hear the rhythms and see the slave trade or the slaves with their trade of goods on Sundays in New Orleans, because it was just a few blocks from where he lived on Conti Street. So this matchup, he's pitted against Lonnie Johnson, who was also born in New Orleans. Johnson lived from 1899 to 1970, and Johnson played guitar and vocals. So the song Tomorrow Night is very typical of a song, and there's a lot in here in these 64 songs, early 20th century, right at the beginning of jazz. And on the one hand, so my daughter Sophia says that Lonnie Johnson sounds like Olaf from Frozen, or Little Olaf, I guess, from Frozen. But I think Bambula, to my ear, just sounds better. But for me, Lonnie Johnson and Tomorrow Night has an important part in the early history of jazz. And so for me, my vote is Lonnie Johnson and Tomorrow Night. Again, you may feel different, and that's how we're going to do this. I'm just going to kind of walk you through. I'll tell you a little bit about them. I'm going to fill out my own bracket, and we'll see how it goes. again, I've listened to these two were the first two I listened to out of the 64. So I went back right before I recorded and listened to them again. And again, I like the sound of Bambula, but when you call something Bambula, it has, I want to hear drums, I want to hear the rhythms, I want to hear the story about Congo Square and the enslaved people and trying to carve out and preserve their own history and their own legacy. And so for me, the vote is Lonnie Johnson and Tomorrow Night. Incidentally, you can go online, and again, I'll have links to all this in the show notes. You can see how people voted, and they actually show you the number of votes. I paid very, very little attention to that as I was filling this out, so your mileage may vary. Let's see, round one, number two, matchup number two, you have Petite Fleur versus Little Liza Jane. So Petite Fleur is a classic. It was done by Sidney Bechet, and you're going to hear many of the names over and over in this matchup or in this bracket. Sidney Bechet lived from 1897 to 1947. Again, a lot of this music right in there. This is a classic song. Sidney Bechet is famous as an understatement. You know, he played such a part of the creation of jazz. He's a clarinetist. So that's the other thing I didn't mention. I played clarinet for about 15 years, not very well, but it really imbibed in me a sense, a love of the clarinet and also clarinetists from New Orleans. And anytime I hear a clarinet, I tend to be pretty partial to it. So his song is a classic, a jazz classic. I love the clarinet. I love him. But he's up against Little Liza Jane, which is an absolute classic Mardi Gras Indian song. The one that is presented here in the playlist from THNOC is done by Preservation Hall Jazz Band, but I love other versions of it. Sophia, again, she gave me a couple notes before she got tired. She says Little Liza Jane sounds like the Disney movie The Frog Princess, which makes sense because that's set in New Orleans. But Little Liza Jane is such an important song in Mardi Gras Indian culture. So my vote goes to Little Liza Jane. This is one, and there are many in here, where I would encourage you to look up different versions of the song on YouTube. There's one of Little Liza Jane, I don't think I'm confusing it with another one, where on YouTube there's an Indian practice. So Mardi Gras Indians are practicing in a bar, and they've recorded it, and this is like maybe 1982, 83. So the recording's not great, but that's how you would expect to hear it, either Mardi Gras Indians on Mardi Gras Day or St. Joseph's, the night of St. Joseph's Day, or Super Sunday. All of these things I've talked about in past episodes. I think the Mardi Gras Indian episode was number 13. But it's just, it's sometimes raw, and it's a call and response. There's many, many different versions of it. But for me, as great as Sidney Bechet is, Little Liza Jane's just hard to pass. So that's my vote. There's also a more modern Indian group called Chawa that kind of blends the old and the new. They do a great version of it too that you can find on YouTube. But again, my vote here in matchup two goes to Little Liza Jane. Round one, matchup number three, is just A Closer Walk with Thee versus Goodnight Irene. So the one that Eric chose to put in the playlist on YouTube is one where Mahalia Jackson dedicates the song Just a Closer Walk with Thee to Louis Armstrong, and she's performing at the Newport Jazz Festival. So there's a lot of layers there. Just a Closer Walk with Thee is a classic jazz funeral song. Louis Armstrong, so in this particular recording, Mahalia Jackson performs it, and later that same year at Jazz Fest, the first Jazz Fest, she performs it unannounced at Jazz Fest. So the story goes that I don't think she was scheduled to perform, and she heard people playing, or she wandered into Jazz Fest and ended up playing. So Louis, in the one that's on the video at the Newport Jazz Festival, she's dedicating it to Louis Armstrong, and Louis Armstrong comes out on stage and sings with her. So it's a pretty amazing performance. And to get to see Mahalia Jackson and Louis Armstrong on stage together, and then to have that set against the Newport Jazz Festival the same year as the first Jazz Fest in New Orleans. And, of course, the tie between the Newport Jazz Festival and the New Orleans Jazz Festival is that when the folks in New Orleans wanted to have a jazz fest, they went out and recruited Mr. Ween, George Ween, who was the founder and producer of the Newport Jazz Festival. He comes to New Orleans and he works with some local business people, and they decide to put it on. Among others is Vance Vaucresson's dad. Vance is someone who's been on our podcast, but his family is the only original vendor left at Jazz Fest from the 1970 festival, and that's because his dad was involved in that discussion. George Ween comes in. He knows an awful lot about jazz. He's not a New Orleanian, and he hires two people to help him. One is Quint Davis, who today runs Jazz Fest and has for many years, and the other is Allison Miner, who until she died was every bit a part of the success and the behind-the-scenes pieces of Jazz Fest as Quint Davis became and as George Ween was. In fact, today, if you go, well, not this year, but typically, if you go to Jazz Fest and you go to the inside of the fairgrounds or the grandstands, the part where the stage where they interview artists is called the Allison Miner stage in honor of Allison. Nonetheless, this performance in this set is terrific. And then there is another performance of A Closer Walk with Thee by Doreen Ketchins. And it's not in this list. I'm not positive that it is or it isn't. If it isn't, I'll add a link to it. But Doreen Ketchins is a classically trained clarinetist who makes her living by performing with her family on the street in the French Quarter. But there is a YouTube video of her performing A Closer Walk with Thee in the St. Louis Cathedral with the Louisiana Philharmonic. And it's just an amazing performance. She is fabulous. And if you ever get the chance, you should go check her out. But those two performances, the Mahalia Jackson, Louis Armstrong one, and the Doreen Ketchins one, are just amazing performances of this song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. So it's up against a song called Goodnight Irene by Leadbelly. And this is just an unfair matchup. And again, if I get the privilege of having Eric on, it's one that I'll ask about. And I feel like I'm going to create a little sub-series of a sub-series in that you're going to hear several times throughout this series me say this is an unfair matchup. But this one, you have Leadbelly, who I'll tell you about. This one would be better matched against Lonnie Johnson from the first one. I think I still would have picked Lonnie Johnson's. What was that song? Let me go back up. Tomorrow Night. But this song going up against Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and in this particular, the one that they present to you, is just such an unfair matchup, in my opinion. But getting back to Leadbelly, so his real name is Huddy Leadbelly, is his nickname, of course, Huddy Leadbetter. But he deserves a lot of recognition for his influence on modern music. People like Kurt Cobain, Bob Dylan, and George Harrison all mentioned at various times that Leadbelly was a major influence in their music careers. I might choose Goodnight Irene as a song over A Closer Walk with Thee, but I just can't get past the trio of Mahalia Jackson, Louis Armstrong, and Doreen Ketchins. So with apologies to Leadbelly, I'm going with Just a Closer Walk with Thee. So I'm up to matchup 4, and we're 18 minutes in, and so that's why when you start thinking about this, trying to do 32 of these, there's no way I could do this in one episode. So round 1, matchup 4, is My Jolie Blonde versus Over the Waves. So Jolie Blonde is a traditional Cajun waltz, and very roughly, it's a story of a pretty blonde who left and moved back home with her family, and now she has a new boyfriend. There's a couple different versions of it, but it has to do, in every case, with sort of a gorgeous woman, a jilted lover. She goes home or she leaves, and then she hooks up with somebody else. Right, classic story. It also incidentally happens to be the fight song of McNeese State University here in Louisiana. It's going up against Over the Waves, and this version is by George Lewis and his New Orleans Stompers. Over the Waves was actually composed by a Mexican composer, Juventino Rosas, and in Spanish it is, and I'm going to mess this up, but I'll do the best I can, is the Sobres las Olas, Over the Waves. Over the Waves has been covered by people like Chet Atkins, The Beach Boys, Roy Clark, and Willie Nelson. Jolie Blonde is like the Cajun song. So I spent my college years in Lafayette, 160 miles southwest or west of New Orleans along I-10. You cannot escape Jolie Blonde. There is so much, so many varieties of it. The songs, if you go to jazz fests and stand at the Fado Dos stage for any length of time, you'll hear it. It's a wonderful song, but I'm going with Over the Waves. It was composed again by a Mexican composer, but it's popular, or was really popular in New Orleans. And what I love about it is it just has that traditional Dixieland jazz feel to it. So Over the Waves goes over My Jolie Blonde in this case. Round one, matchup number five. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans versus Sing On? Everyone knows the song, Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans? This particular one is by Louis Armstrong and Billie Holiday. It was actually first heard in the 1947 movie New Orleans with the two of them singing it. It's a classic. I think the Historic New Orleans Collection, they're doing a little series of watching older movies about New Orleans, sort of everybody doing it at once and live tweeting it. They did The Big Easy with Dennis Quaid and Ellen Barkin a couple weeks ago, and I am sure that the 1947 movie New Orleans is in that list on an upcoming King Creole with Elvis Presley, but I think, I don't remember when, but I know they're going to do this one. So, classic. The video on YouTube that they link to is probably a clip of Armstrong and Holiday performing the song in the movie. It's up against a song that probably a lot of people haven't heard of called Sing On. This one is done by the Eureka Brass Band, and again, it's second-line funeral music. This is a tough one for me, and I know that most votes are going to go for Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans, and I love that song, but I am going with the lesser-known Sing On, just because I think it evokes... If you want to know what second-line music is like, particularly the first part, right, the sort of dirges and the when they are leading a body to be buried, Sing On, and particularly by this one by the Eureka Brass Band, probably a 75-year-old recording, up against essentially almost from the same time period, Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans? Again, I'm going against the tide here, but it's my vote, it's my bracket. And so I'm going with Sing On, this one done by the Eureka Brass Band. This next one, where are we at? Round one, matchup number six, St. James Infirmary versus La Belle Creole by Basile Barres, or Barres. St. James Infirmary is really a variation. I think in New Orleans, we think of it as an old New Orleans song, but it's a variation on an older song that kind of has these somewhat murky origins. There was a song called The Unfortunate Rake, but Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway helped popularize the song in America in the 20s and 30s, so right in the jazz era, right? I didn't know until I started digging into it that St. James Infirmary wasn't the original song, that it came, you know, or at least had its origins in this other song that was much older. The version that they have in the YouTube list is terrific, but there's so many of them. There's one by Shamar Allen. He's a trumpet player here in New Orleans and a performer and just fabulous, and also just an all-around good guy. But there's a version by Shamar Allen from his album Meet Me on Frenchman Street, and he's got that like bright trumpet sound and gravelly voice that'll at least remind you of Satchmo. His arrangement also has shades of Dave Brubeck in it. So if you're familiar with Dave Brubeck, it's an interesting mix. I actually really, the first time I heard Shamar Allen perform St. James Infirmary in person, I was just blown away. He also, Shamar, mixes the lyrics of the variations of the song. So there's all these different sort of ways to do it, and The Unfortunate Rake is kind of a cowboy song, and Shamar mixes all that. So he's got some of the traditional folks, I'm going down to St. James Infirmary, see my baby there. She stretched out on a long white table, so sweet, so cold, so fair. And then later on he says, now when I die, bury me in my straight leg breeches, put on a box back coat and a Stetson hat, a $20 gold piece on my watch chain, so you can let all the boys know I died standing pat. And so Shamar mixes all this in. I think he even might throw a hoot out in there. And that's kind of, I think if you could go back in time and Cab Calloway and Louis Armstrong could hear Shamar Allen, they would love it because he's got this kind of scat rhythm to it and improvising, and he's got this mixture of the old. So he knows the history of the song. It's a fabulous song. And again, the one that you'll hear in the playlist is Louis Armstrong, but go find the one by Shamar Allen. It's terrific, and it's just a different take on it. The other thing, as I was doing this, so much of it depends on the recording. So if you're not familiar with a particular song and you go listen, the ones in the playlist are terrific. But often I found myself diving in and going look for other variations, or I knew of other variations. And so what I would encourage you to do, if you got that playlist up, and you should as you're going through this yourself, I would almost challenge you, for the song that you don't like or the one that you don't pick in each matchup, go find an alternative version of The Loser, if you will, on YouTube, because a lot of times somebody else performing it is just interesting, but also can really kind of change your perspective on it. So St. James Infirmary, classic song. Up against La Belle Creole, which was published, it also kind of had a little bit of a murky history. Some say it was published in 1852, some say 1866. It's mostly piano. It's a polka, which seems odd now, but I can imagine this being played in the brothels of Storyville. So I also did an episode on Storyville with some of the curators from I almost said Storyville. That'd be amazing. But from the Historic New Orleans Collection. And I think Eric might have joined us for one of those. But in Storyville, these musicians played what people were used to. And so there was a train station that's long gone, but that was right at the beginning of Storyville. And you had people from all over the world. And when people would come into the brothels, they expected to be entertained. And you had the musicians playing, right? But I think of jazz. But what I learned is they would play all kinds of music. And they would play the music that people coming from Europe and ports all over the world were used to hearing. So on the one hand, a polka to me seems a little out of place. But I bet it was very, very common. And to hear a song like that, La Belle Creole, it would have been perfectly in place in Storyville. From the late 1800s until about 1897 to 1917, you would have heard all kinds of music because they would have played whatever the patrons expected and asked to hear. This is one, and I think I've already said this a couple times, my vote is St. James Infirmary, but La Belle Creole drew a bad matchup. I think up against some of the other ones, I would have liked to have seen if you're familiar with NCAA and how they do kind of regional seeds, I would like to have seen maybe a grouping of traditional Dixieland music as one theme or something like that. And that's something I'll ask Eric if I get the chance to have him on the show. So again, to recap, round one, matchup six, St. James Infirmary against La Belle Creole. I'm going with St. James Infirmary. The next one's easy for me. It's round one, matchup seven. It's Elaba versus Tiger Rag. So here in Louisiana, we hear Tiger Rag all the time, thanks to LSU. You can go listen to it. If you're an LSU fan, you're very familiar with it. I'm going to keep this one simple. My vote is Elaba. I love it because it has French, English, Creole. It's a big sort of gumbo medley of things. There's a lot of different versions. I'm pretty sure the Meters had picked, well, I know the Meters had a version of it. That's not the version that's in the playlist here, but Et Là-Bas over Tiger Rag. Don't come at me about it. I don't want to hear it. I'm happy LSU won the national championship here in 2020, but this one's not even close. It may be the easiest pick of the first round for me. All right, for those of you still listening that weren't turned off by that, round one, matchup number 8, Indian Red versus Everybody Loves Me Baby. This version of Indian Red is done by the Mardi Gras Indian tribe, Wild Chapatulas. It's the first song. Indian Red is the first song as a Mardi Gras Indian tribe heads out on Mardi Gras morning. So when the big chief comes out of his house or wherever they're starting from, Indian Red's the first song. It's pretty much the anthem of Mardi Gras Indians. Part of, or one of the lyrics is, "We won't bow down, not on that ground." And that's appropriate probably all over, but right now in New Orleans, you see signs celebrating or thanking healthcare workers, and the slogan underneath it is, "We won't bow down." And so that comes from the song Indian Red. It was also sort of the, I guess, theme this year for the New Orleans Pelicans and Zion Williamson's rookie year here in the NBA. All the signs around the Superdome say, "Won't bow down." So, "We won't bow down, not on that ground." It went up against "Everybody Loves My Baby, But My Baby Don't Love Nobody But Me" by the Boswell Sisters and Louis Armstrong. This is, again, a jazz standard. It was released, I think, in 1924, right in the height of jazz. It's a neat song. It's a fun song. But Indian Red, the clear winner here for me. Mardi Gras Indian culture and music is just so important to the culture of New Orleans. And Indian Red has just this call and response, exactly what you would expect. So go listen to those. They're both great, but Indian Red gets my vote. Okay, we're halfway through, or a quarter of the way through, but halfway through what I'm going to cover today. And if all this has you itching to connect with New Orleans, make sure that you're listening or listening along with the YouTube list. Make sure you're diving in. But I also want you to check out some of the partners that I have, including NOLA Boards, Coast Roast Coffee, and NOLA T-Shirt of the Month. About 2 months ago, we started a Beyond Bourbon Street Partners program, and this is really where I partner. I've been seeking out businesses that I think or that I know that you'll love their services or products. And one of the things that I wanted are things that people could enjoy when they leave New Orleans. Maybe you're an expat, maybe you visited and love it, maybe you lived in New Orleans in a past life, maybe you're going to live in New Orleans someday, maybe you live here now. Every business that I partner with, they have to meet 3 criteria for me. They have to be products that I like, 1. 2, that I believe you will. And 3, I want to partner, I only partner with businesses where I believe in the owners and that their values and the way they run their business and the way they focus on their customers is consistent with what I try to do with the podcast and with sharing my love of New Orleans with you. We're adding more partners all the time. NOLA Boards is great. They make these cutting boards that use Louisiana woods. There's a great Mardi Gras board where they have found a purple wood, and so they really do kind of get the purple, green, and gold all naturally on the board. But they have all kinds of things. They're a great place to go for gifts. But anyway, there's a couple of them there. You can check out all of our partners over in the show notes for today's episode, again, at beyondbourbonst.com/113. And many of them, most of them offer discount codes. So give them a look. And when you're looking for a way to connect with New Orleans, check out our partners. Now let's get back to the matchups. We're in round 1, matchup 9. When the Saints Go Marching In versus Livery Stable Blues. The version of When the Saints Go Marching In that is on display in the playlist is recorded by the original Panettes Brass Band. It's a good one, and it includes a Who Dat chant. So I might have mixed that up when I mentioned Shamar Allen earlier. But The original Panettes is an all-female brass band. They are a lot of fun. A previous guest on the show, James Cullen, the Accidental Cajun, has done a lot of work photographing the original Panettes when they play in the city. They're a good one. You should look them up, and when you are back in New Orleans, and it's safe to go out and hear live music, if you ever see them playing, you want to go check them out. When the Saints Go Marching In, you guys have heard me, longtime listeners, just a couple episodes ago, mention Bruce Springsteen at Jazz Fest the year after Hurricane Katrina in 2006. He performed When the Saints Go Marching In, and he did it with the Prez Hall Jazz Band, and he researched a couple of verses that had not that are not common. So almost every New Orleanian can sing When the Saints Go Marching In, but there's a couple verses that most of us didn't know or probably weren't familiar with. I wasn't. And Bruce Springsteen's set that year was perfect in so many ways, and we've talked about it in past episodes. But he, so the original Panettes brass band is the version you'll see in the playlist, but go back and find Bruce Springsteen's performance at Jazz Fest. The day he performed When the Saints Go Marching In, everybody in that crowd was crying, including me. It's a black spiritual song. It's popularized by Louis Armstrong. It's a fun song in New Orleans culture, obviously, both with the modern connection to our New Orleans Saints. It's up against Livery Stable Blues, which was recorded in 1917 by the original Dixieland Jazz Band. It's interesting, jazz was spelled J-A-S-S back then. And it is traditional jazz at its finest. It's got clarinet, cornet, trombone. This is a hard one for me because there's so much emotion and memory tied into When the Saints Go Marching In. So I'm going to go along with the crowd and go with When the Saints Go Marching In. But this is another one I wish Livery Stable Blues had a different matchup. And again, maybe I'll do a little lanyap at the end of one of the episodes and match up all the ones I think should have gotten other matchups. Let's see. Round one, matchup number 10. Way Down Yonder in New Orleans versus Buddy Bolden's Blues. Again, like so many of these, Way Down Yonder is another 1920s standard. Some of the lyrics, Way Down Yonder in New Orleans, in the land of dreamy scenes, there's a Garden of Eden, that's what I mean, Creole babies with flashing eyes, softly whisper with tender sighs, stop, oh, won't you give your lady a fair little smile, stop, you bet your life you'll linger there a little while, there's heaven right there on earth with those beautiful queens, Way Down Yonder in New Orleans. So it's up against Buddy Bolden's Blues. And what's interesting is we don't have a lot of firsthand information about Buddy Bolden, even though he was likely the closest we have to a creator of jazz, right? There are plenty of people, or at least a handful of musicians that can rightfully stake a claim to helping create jazz, right? But Buddy Bolden's Blues was recorded... Well, at least this one was recorded by Jelly Roll Morton in 1938. It was composed around 1905 by Buddy Bolden's trombonist, Willie Cornish. At least that's what we think. There's a great article that I'm going to link to on the Tulane website. So Tulane has a jazz archive, and there's a great, it's a PDF from an article, and it kind of talks about the song Buddy Bolden's Blues, and the fact that an awful lot of what we know about Buddy Bolden is hearsay or secondhand. And so he's a bit of a mystery in many ways, but the song is pretty well documented. So you got Way Down Yonder in New Orleans versus Buddy Bolden's Blues. I'm going to go against the tide on this one. I'm going to go with Buddy Bolden's Blues. I just think Way Down Yonder in New Orleans, it's almost kitschy to me. And Buddy Bolden's Blues is a really important song. I love Jelly Roll Morton, and I love the recording of this one, so that's my vote. And again, I'm going to put the link to the, you can go way down the rabbit hole on Buddy Bolden and trying to learn about his life, and this article is really great, so I'll put that there in the show notes. Moving on, round one, matchup 11, and I numbered all these even though the bracket that the Historic New Orleans Collection put up didn't have numbers, it was the easiest way for me to keep track. But if you are following along and you go look at their website, and it's still up, so you can see not only the playlist on YouTube, but you can see the brackets. If you just follow along, it's in the same order that I'm describing them here. And so we are up to matchup 11, Burgundy Street Blues versus When It's Sleepy Time Down South. So Burgundy Street Blues was done by George Lewis, and I think we had an earlier one by George Lewis. He's a clarinetist who was born in the French Quarter, and he lived from 1900 to 1968. He was the leader of the Preservation Hall Jazz Band until he died. We did a whole episode with Ben Jaffe about Pres Hall and the band and Ben's parents who created essentially Preservation Hall. But I didn't know that George Lewis was the band leader until his death in 1968. So that would be interesting to go back and ask Ben about. I know that Ben not only loves music and loves Preservation Hall and the band, but that connection, I'm sure, being the leader of that band, that George Lewis, this famous clarinetist with so much history in New Orleans and going back to jazz, I would just love to get Ben's take on that and trying to follow. I know he would say, well, I'm not following in anybody's footsteps. I'm just trying to honor those of who have come before me. But it'd be great to hear his take on that. He probably didn't know George, but his parents certainly did. So that's up against yet another signature song of Louis Armstrong, When It's Sleepy Time Down South. This one is about the Great Migration, so African Americans moving from the South to the North. It's interesting because it wasn't popular among African Americans, and if you listen to it, there's a lot of stereotypes in it, but it helped Armstrong broaden his popularity. So it also really didn't engender him to a lot of people here. There were a lot in the community that were not happy with him about it, and at the same time, it helped broaden his national popularity and beyond. Another great trumpet player, Al Hurt, New Orleanian, who's been dead now many years, he recorded it in 1963, and many others have recorded it. My vote goes to Burgundy Street Blues. Again, I mentioned, I think, at the top, I played clarinet badly, but I have a soft spot in my heart for clarinetists. There's so much music in here with Louis Armstrong, and my favorite song of all time, What a Wonderful World, which I don't think is in here, it's certainly not in the first 16, is of course a Louis Armstrong song. But in this case, my vote goes to Burgundy Street Blues over When It's Sleepy Time Down South. All right, matchup number 12, Wolverine Blues versus Just a Gigolo. So Wolverine Blues was recorded by Jelly Roll Morton in 1923, actually in Richmond, Virginia. It's another jazz standard. And side note, Jelly Roll's real name was Ferdinand Joseph LaMoth. So I know that several of you, several listeners, have stayed at LaMoth House on Esplanade Avenue. And I am certain that there's a tie-in there. Jelly Roll Morton was a New Orleans Creole. And I think he lived right around the corner from there, maybe even in that compound. So that's an interesting. I didn't know that that was his name until I started working on this. And I know many of you have stayed at the LaMoth House because it comes up frequently in our Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew, when people ask about places to stay. So it's up against Just a Gigolo. And if you are, I'm going to turn 50 this year. If you are about my age or maybe a little younger, most people probably know the song Just a Gigolo thanks to David Lee Roth in 1985. Who had a hit with his version of it. But it was originally actually composed in Vienna, and it was translated to English by Irving Caesar in 1929. The composition that most of us think was recorded, or the one that most of us think of, was recorded by Louis Prima in 1956, and that's the one that's in the playlist that the Historic New Orleans Collection put up. But that version actually blends two songs. It blends I Ain't Got Nobody from 1915 along with Just a Gigolo. Interesting side note. So we talked about Louis Prima with Justin Nystrom last time because Louis Prima was Sicilian-Italian. And at a time when it wasn't really looked upon as a good thing to sort of embrace your ethnicity. Louis Prima really made a career out of his Sicilian heritage and not hiding behind it, but using it as this is who I am. He played in a lot of clubs that were mentioned last time by Justin. And he also appeared in the Disney movie The Jungle Book in 1967 as the kind of obnoxious orangutan King Louis. So my vote is for Just a Gigolo. I wish there had been divisions again for periods of time, because I think Wolverine Blues against some of the early jazz standards would be an interesting matchup. I love that Just a Gigolo, again, kind of had this rebirth in the 1980s with David Lee Roth of Van Halen. But I like the Louis Prima version, and I love that it really is a blend of two songs, I Ain't Got Nobody, along with Just a Gigolo. So that's my vote. All right, as I mentioned, we're going to do 16 because there's 32 matchups. There's no way I can get all that done in one episode. There's no way my voice can hold up. So we're going to go to round one, matchup 13. Basin Street Blues versus King Porter Stomp. So Basin Street Blues was recorded by Louis Armstrong. It was written by Spencer Williams. A couple of songs in this tournament were done by Spencer Williams. What's interesting to me about Basin Street Blues is that it refers to the main street in Storyville. So I mentioned that Storyville was this infamous red light district in New Orleans from 1897 until the Navy basically said, you have to close this down because New Orleans is a big port. With the World War I, it's not good. We can't have all this legal prostitution and all of these sailors coming in town. So for about a 20-year period, Storyville was the red light district in New Orleans, and Basin Street was the main street in Storyville. Basin Street Blues has been recorded by many people. There's a lot of different versions. It's been done by Miles Davis, Sam Cooke, Glenn Miller, Cab Calloway, Ray Charles, and Harry Connick Jr., another New Orleanian. It was going up against King Porter Stomp, performed by Jelly Roll Morton. Jelly Roll Morton was probably, he, as I understand it, he liked to claim or did claim that he was the one that created jazz, but he was probably more responsible for ragtime than what we think of as New Orleans jazz. The problem was he bragged about his accomplishments so much that it impacted what people thought about him, which was a shame because Jelly Roll Morton is such an institution and was so gifted. King Porter Stomp has that swing sound to it. It's typical of Jelly Roll Morton. He recorded it in 1923, but he claimed he wrote it nearly 20 years earlier. The research indicates, well, why would he do that? Because if he could claim that it was earlier than it was, then it helps support his claim that he really created or was sort of the founding father of jazz, if you will. I like it because it does. It has that swing that you would expect of an early jazz song. It's got that ragtime mix. It has a different progression, too, than some of the jazz standards that are in the bracket. I think it's a stomp. Technically, it's a stomp progression with an 8-bar chord, but it just has, to me, it has the almost early feel of funk. So you could close your eyes or you could listen to the meters and you could then listen to King Porter Stomp and you could kind of feel the lineage there. So my vote here, and maybe it's not going to be a popular one, is King Porter Stomp over Basin Street Blues. Couple more to go today. Let's see. Round one, matchup 14. God, these are so hard. And this is the thing that was both Eli warned me that this was a rabbit hole. He said, look, if you do this, you like may never come out. And he was right. Again, I can't wait to talk to Eric about the matchups and why he chose them. But matchup number 14 is Bourbon Street Parade versus Dipper Mouth Blues. So Bourbon Street Parade was written in 1955 by Paul Barberin, but it's now a jazz standard. So compared to a lot of these, it's a newer jazz song, but it's very much a standard. It has that marching band feel, and it's a good example of how marching bands influenced jazz as jazz progressed. It's common in second lines and certainly at Mardi Gras. For me, it's one of the first New Orleans songs that I learned to play on a clarinet. And I like, again, you can kind of hear the snare drum. Not kind of. You can hear the snare drum. You can hear the beat. It's a fun song, Bourbon Street Parade. Even if a New Orleanian couldn't name it, gosh, anybody that spent any time at Mardi Gras would be able to identify it and recognize it as a song. You hear it all the time. It's up against a song called Dippermouth Blues, which was recorded in 1923 by King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band that included Louis Armstrong. So some people claim that Louis Armstrong wrote it, but most give credit to Joe Oliver. What's interesting is Dippermouth was a nickname of Armstrong's, although Satchmo is the one we most often think of course, right? It has a blues tint to it, and there's a solo that's really famous in the middle of it where King Oliver's muting his cornet, and that is a famous riff. So even if you love Bourbon Street Blues and you've never heard of Dippermouth Blues, listen to it all the way through, because in the middle there's this riff, and you've likely heard this before. Dr. John recorded his own version of the song in 2014 with James Andrews, covering the cornet solo. It's a fabulous listen, and it's interesting to listen to the version that's here in the THNOC playlist, and then listen to Dr. John's treatment of it, and you hear the funk kind of, you know, not kind of, but injected into it. It definitely gets the Dr. John treatment. It's on an album that was sort of Dr. John's salute to Satchmo. So this one's interesting because you have Bourbon Street Parade, a little bit newer, against Dippermouth Blues. I'm guessing a lot of people, including myself, didn't know that Dippermouth was one of Louis Armstrong's nicknames. You got King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band. King Oliver just was such an important part of jazz history and foundations. And then go find, this is one where, listen to the Dr. John version with James Andrews. It's just fabulous. This one is really tough for me. I'm going to go with Bourbon Street Parade. But if I had heard the version of Dippermouth Blues with Dr. John and James Andrews instead of the one that is presented in the list, I think I would have gone in that direction. So you can't go wrong with either one, but I got to pick. I'm going to go with Bourbon Street Parade. All right, we're getting close to the end of one half of round one, which is where I'm going to stop. Round one, matchup 15. I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate versus Muskrat Ramble. I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate is from 1922. It was performed by Lizzie Miles. She was born in the Marigny, so just downriver from the French Quarter. She worked with Joe Oliver, Kid Ory, Bunk Johnson. She's buried in St. Louis number 3. Again, we've done a couple episodes about the St. Louis cemeteries of New Orleans. St. Louis number 3 is my favorite because it's where my maternal grandparents are buried. Excuse me, I need a little water there. It's right off Bayou St. John in the front of City Park on Esplanade Avenue. So if you ever get the chance to go visit, go look for Lizzie Miles' grave there. As I listened to it, my immediate reaction was it sounds a bit like Irma Thomas, though I'm guessing Irma Thomas would say that it's the other way around. I hope to get Irma Thomas on the show one of these days. And my guess is she would say that Lizzie Miles was a big influence of hers. It's a piano and vocals. It's, again, I listened to all these straight through, and this was just like a really lively, fun song. It's a fun thing. So you should listen to it. It was up against, oh, also another thing. I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate. It's sultry. It's a little risque for the time. There's a more recent or contemporary version done by Cecile McLaurin Salvant, S-A-L-V-A-N-T. Again, I'll try to find it and put a link to it if I get a chance, but go look that one up. It's really well done. But the Lizzie Miles version is fabulous. It's up against Muskrat Ramble by Kid Ory. It was recorded in 1926, so again, just in the heyday of jazz. Kid Ory lived from 1886 to 1973, which is amazing, right? So I was born in 1970. This version was recorded by Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five. The lyrics were written later, so when it was first recorded, it was an instrumental, and then the lyrics came later. Like many of the songs here, there's clarinet, cornet, and trombone featured. My vote, though, is I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate. It's just such a fun song. And also, again, you need to go listen to it, but when you listen to it and you think about 1922, even though we were in the midst of jazz and ragtime, this would have been, I would think, a pretty risque song. So a lot of fun. That one's got my vote. Round one, matchup 16, is West End Blues versus Don't You Make Me High by Lulu Barker. West End Blues was made famous by Louis Armstrong, but it was composed by King Oliver. This one, and maybe I mixed it up, this one had, and maybe both Muskrat Ramble too, but this one was originally an instrumental and the words weren't added till later. It's interesting, this one has a really bright start, like it reminds me of horses being called to the gate at, say, the Kentucky Derby. But then it goes into like this bluesy kind of slow swing. West End was a popular entertainment district in New Orleans. It was out on the lakefront, music and dining, and they may have had a hotel there back in the day. And it was at the end of what would become the New Basin Canal. So if you're familiar with New Orleans and you've been along the Pontchartrain Expressway out towards West End, that's the area, except it was a very vibrant resort area at the time that West End Blues was written. Incidentally, when THNOC did their viewing of the Big Easy a couple weeks ago, there's a scene in the Big Easy. If you haven't seen the Big Easy, go find it on Pluto or Amazon Prime. Dennis Quaid's treatment of the voice of the language is terrible. His accent is horrendous, but it's so bad it makes it fun. But the thing about the Big Easy is there's a lot of scenes from New Orleans. A lot of it's filmed in the city. And there's a scene near the end of the movie. I don't want to give it away in case you haven't watched it, but there's a scene at the end where they're having a fete au dos. They're having a they're celebrating something, and it's out at West End. There was a restaurant that, until Katrina, was the second oldest restaurant in New Orleans called Bruning's, a fabulous fried seafood place that was built out on pilings over the water, over Lake Pontchartrain. And right next to it was the Bruning family compound. And it was kind of on a little island. And there's a scene right near the end of that movie where they're on that island celebrating. And that's at West End. And so West End Blues was about that area. And again, at that time, that would have been a really popular, it would have been, there was a train that went out there, so it would have been sort of a getaway, a day trip, not a day trip, but yeah, a couple hours to get out there, or at least an hour from the French Quarter, and people would go enjoy themselves out there. It's up against Don't You Make Me High / Don't You Feel My Leg. And again, maybe I'm confusing a little bit, and I apologize. It's a lot of matchups here. I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate from the last matchup is pretty high energy, a little bit risque, but Don't You Make Me High definitely would have been risque for the time, I think. Don't You Feel My Leg, because if you feel my leg, you're going to feel my thigh, and if you feel my thigh, you're going to go up high. 1938. Lulu Barker is accompanied by her husband on this song, Danny Barker. They're talking about rye whiskey. They're talking about thighs. You can imagine the rest of it. It was also recorded or covered by Van Morrison. It was covered by Merlene Johnson. I would love to hear, and I don't know if this exists, but I would love to hear this song done by Marsha Ball or Bonnie Raitt. But Marsha Ball has the voice, and she's sort of an adopted New Orleanian from Texas. She's kind of got a gravelly voice. I think I need to go look and see if she's done it. If she hasn't, somebody needs to suggest that to her the next time she performs at Jazz Fest. There is a really great article that I'll link to from Offbeat Magazine, an article from 1996 about, it's an interview with Lulu Barker. So my vote here, again, we're going West End Blues, made famous by Louis Armstrong, against Don't You Make Me High. My vote is Don't You Make Me High. And for me, these last two, 15 and 16, were really fun, just kind of high energy, silly a little bit. So that's what I would go with. So that takes us through the first 16 of 32 matchups of this Music Madness bracket. We're going to pick up and do the next 16 in the next episode. And then once we get through that, I'll do a third episode where hopefully I can go through all the other rounds. I might have to make four episodes. I'm not sure. And I'm going to see if I can get Eric on the show, since he had done, I want to understand, Eric is a curator over at the Historic New Orleans Collection who put this together. And I would like to get his take on some of this in terms of why he put them together and what he thinks about the results and, you know, and all that. So we're going to do that if we can, but we will pick up next time. I do want to mention, I want to thank you for listening, but I want to thank the Historic New Orleans Collection for challenging me to do this. This has really been a lot of fun to do it. Again, I'm going to put all the links over in the show notes at beyondbourbonst.com/113. I'd encourage you to go, as you're listening to this, go grab the Music Madness playlist and either go through it simultaneously where you can stop and start, or now that you've listened to this, go get that and do your own. You'll be able to see what I chose. I also wanted to mention that the show, as we come to a close, is supported by my Patreon supporters. So if you love Beyond Bourbon Street and you love what we're doing with this show, consider throwing in a couple dollars. Supporters at the $10 level get mentioned on the show. And so I want to thank some of our more recent supporters, Allison Ward-Peters, Stephanie Lorme, and I hope I'm not messing that up, Stephanie Lance Richardson, and Adrian Lanus, all at the $10 level. I think at this point we're at about 42 people who are supporting us, so that's terrific. We really appreciate it, and it makes a difference. It helps pay the bills. But we have thousands of listeners and thousands of people in our Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street crew. So if you love what we're doing, please consider signing up and becoming a patron of the show. Once again, thanks so much. I hope you enjoyed this. I love going through the music. I can't wait to share the next 16 matchups with you.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.